103.2 Dublin City FM. This is Mental Wealth with Brian Green. Good afternoon. If you want to get in touch with the programme, the email address is mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie. I almost said mental health. I think I said mental health last week during the programme, but it's mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie is the email address to get in touch with us. On today's programme, as I promised last week, I'm talking with singer-songwriter Marie Kniff, and she joins me on the line, so let's get straight through to her. Marie?
Hello.
Hiya. You're a singer-songwriter, which I've just come across through the power of radio, and I heard some of your songs, and I just dived into listening to more and more of you on Spotify and reading the notes on your fundraiser site and reading all about you. And I thought, do you know what? You've got such a great story. I'm going to bring you onto the programme. So thanks for saying yes.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, God, that's very exciting, isn't it? I'm all over the place now.
It is the power of radio, because you don't know who's going to hear what you are putting out on radio. And then the next time somebody else is going to bring you onto radio because you were on radio before. It just works like that. It mushrooms.
Snowballs, yeah, yes. Yeah, fingers crossed anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just now thinking snowball is a much better analogy than the mushroom.
I tend to use the word snowball a lot. It's like lots of things in my life get out of control or something.
So, when did it all start for you musically? I believe it happened very young.
Oh, God, yeah, no. Well, I've always been singing. Like, I think I was singing, as I say, before I could talk. I used to sing along to Material Girl by Madonna. So I've been told that was my first kind of entry into the performing world. I was born in 1980, so I'm giving away my age, but I don't care. So that, I don't know how old I was, 3 or 4 at the time, right? I don't know what year that came out. But
four, yeah.
Anyway, I got my guitar when I was about 13 or so. I think around the age of 11, I felt like one of the cooler kids in our class was listening to the Beatles, and I was like, oh, we have permission to listen to the Beatles. Great, okay. So I was always into like old music and guitars and like Simon and Garfunkel and stuff like that, and I started playing guitar then, and that's kind of how it all got started for me. Yeah.
For many years it was other people's music, but at some point did you kind of get this idea that I need to tell my own story through song and have to write, and then you had to discover a talent in writing?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how it, like, I'd always been fairly creative in terms of, like, I did well in English and stuff, you know, and creative writing was kind of, I'd been, like, people told me I was good at it and stuff. When it came to the songwriting, I just couldn't seem to get the hang of it. Like, I'd write, maybe I just didn't know how to listen to myself at that stage properly or something, because looking back, I mean, I don't look back very often, but I imagine that the stuff, like, if I was reading it now, I would be cringing. Well, yeah, I left Ireland in 2004 and went to teach English in Seoul in South Korea. While I was there, I was planning on focusing on the music while I was there, because I could, and I was in a position to buy a guitar, because my old guitar was falling apart, and I had a bit of extra cash from the teaching, so yeah, I bought a really nice guitar, and I fell in with a crowd of musicians there at this open mic that we used to go to. That was in Woodstock in Itaewon, for anyone who was listening.
Is the writing process for you cathartic?
It is. To be honest, I think it's more just the singing that's cathartic, that just feels so physically like releasing, especially because I like singing a lot of like Janis Joplin and, you know, blues stuff. Yeah, so the singing, very much so. The writing, yeah, it makes me, like, it is therapeutic, you know, and I like writing anyway. Like, I don't know if you've heard of The Morning Pages. There's a book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way. It's like a course in uncovering your creative self. And to be honest, I kind of feel like I'm very creative anyway, so I feel like I don't really need the course. But the practice of writing the morning pages is very... It's just like 3 foolscap pages that you're supposed to write every day. I don't do it every day. I just do it when I feel like doing it. Yeah, I just find it's good to be able to express yourself and put things into words that you have going on in your head. So you can kind of just see how true they are, or just if it's something that's bothering you and you keep writing about it every day, eventually you kind of have to do something about it. And the songwriting, very much so, yeah, as well.
The journey to Korea, you've left your native country of Ireland, you're far away. Yeah. Was that life-changing?
Yes, in a word, it was very life-changing. I suppose I better just like kind of explain what happened, because it's all part of one kind of journey that finished up in a psychiatric hospital of all places. It was spring 2006, so 12 years ago now. And what got me to that point, I don't really know, but what I feel like got me to that point was, it's a more poetic way of telling the story, so I'm going with that. I met a fella and I got the wrong idea, and it was difficult to let go of that idea once I'd got it in my head. I couldn't seem to extricate myself from the situation, and I think they call this love. Anyway, this is the love part of the love madness.
You were madly in love.
Madly in love, and like completely unrequited. It was ridiculous. But it was basically, I wrote a song the night that we met, and then it was like quite a passionate song and everything. And it was kind of like the first song I ever actually properly wrote. So he did inspire me in that way. So that's kind of what I mean about, you know, the songwriting. Like it makes meaning. It's meaning making, you know, and just trying to make sense of everything and like, you know, letting yourself feel.
Can I ask you, is this a psychiatric hospital in South Korea?
No, this was in... I forgot I was on my journey there. this was back in Ireland, in fact. I had been in Korea until, like, Christmas 2005, New Year 2006. And so I was just over a year. And then I'd come... And it was all very stressful the whole time because of this dude. And, yeah, anyway, I had gone back to Korea after Christmas, and then gone to Thailand with all my friends that I had met at this open mic in Seoul. And then we came back to Ireland. We'd all separated from Thailand and agreed to meet back in Ireland for this guy's birthday. He was Irish. And I just spun out of control. I just had enough by then. I don't know. It's a long, complicated story. I think a lot of it is expressed well in the songs themselves, to be honest. I feel like I stumble over my words and just get very rambly when I'm trying to tell it, because, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. So you're back here, and it's your first kind of dalliance with psychiatric hospitals and mental health.
Yeah.
And do you find that a source of more writing, or, you know, do you have to go through the trouble and pain and then there's writing? How does it work for you?
It's writing at the time, definitely. But then there's also reflecting. Like, a lot of the songs that I've written are written about things like that happened like a year or 2 years or 3 years or even 12 years or 10 years before. A lot of going back and processing and, again, like, just looking for, like, because every day is a new outlook, so you're just trying to shed new light on what you've experienced. And I do try to move on. I do. And it's nice to write about new things as well. And just, I do have some happy kind of summery songs that I'm playing. I had a launch gig there last Sunday night. I played a couple of the happy kind of sunny songs and I got some good responses. So I think I might, focus a bit more on the happiness for a while after I finished kind of dealing with all this and the new album and everything.
Yeah, and you called your second album Love Madness, which is kind of the opposite of Madly in Love, Love Madness. Mm. And it deals with, is there a particular song that we could play now that kind of tells that story?
I think I'd probably go for track 5 on the album. It's called Just In Case. Yeah, it's track 5. It's kind of getting towards the middle. It's a bit of a bridge kind of between the love and the madness. Like, by the end of the song, you're like, okay, we're getting into... It was set literally, like, I got back to Ireland on the Wednesday and I was brought into hospital on the Saturday back in 2006 in spring. It was like, part of it is like literally the events that were happening at that time.
I had a king, I had a key to his door. Just don't know what they are for. and wishing songs would write the truth of falling open at the seams. 'Cause I remember when you held me, I could hear the beating of your heart, until her voice dripping with poison ripped and tore our souls apart. That was it for me and you. I was too high a price to pay, and you were lost and sad and lonely when they locked my love away. But I get tired of telling stories when they pulsate with the truth. Just know I always sing for you, just in case you still need proof. Just know I always sing for you. Just know I always sing for you. Just know I always sing for you. Just in case you need me to.
The sound of Marie Kniff, who's our guest on today's programme, and Just In Case from her latest album, Love Madness. Marie, can you tell me your interactions with the psychiatric services? Did you come across any creative therapies and activities when you were in the services?
Basically, I was in hospital twice, and the first time I was in Ireland, I was in Navan, and I didn't really, but just to compare, I had another episode like 3 years later, and I was living in London at the time, so I was brought to St. Anne's Hospital in London. So I have experienced both the mental health services in Ireland and in the UK. And then the second time I was brought back to Ireland again and back to Navan, and then I was brought home. That's where my experiences lie. And to be honest, in the UK, there was a lot more like organized, you know, aside from just medication or whatever, there were lots of organized like extra therapies and OT and music therapy. And there was lots of things like that. And I took part in pretty much all of them because I just didn't have anything else to do and it was fun. But back in Ireland, I'm not saying it was better or worse, but it was, you were kind of left to your own devices. There were definitely options for doing things. Like there were like CDs and, you know, there were DVDs and something. Like you could keep yourself entertained. You know, there were things to do, and there wasn't any kind of particular, support for it. It was just there, and if you were into it, you could do it, and if you weren't, you didn't have to, so it was fine. You know, it was just different. I think in the UK, there were more patients. Oh, I don't know. It seemed like in the UK where I was, and I don't know why this was, but it was more like ladies my own age around. Whereas when I was in Navan, I was mixing with like people of all ages, or you know, adults of all ages.
And how does Marie Kniff stay well on a daily basis? Do you have a regime?
Not really, no. I feel like I don't do anything particularly different to what I used to do. Or I've grown up a little bit. You know, I tend not to drink quite so much, and although I might sometimes, you know. I think I'm quite a well-centered person. I know it doesn't sound like I was because I've spent some time in hospital, but I do take medication, and I think I don't know that I want to take it forever or anything, and I don't know if it's definitely the only way that I could be kept well, but I'm taking it now anyway. So in terms of how I stay well, I look after myself in a very, I'm very quite selfish in a way, but I just make sure that I don't put too much pressure on myself at any stage unless I need to, in which case I take it handy as well and give myself plenty of me time. And yeah, I don't know, just general stuff. Like I don't go running, or I like swimming the odd time, and I'm looking forward to the summer now and hopefully getting some swims in the sea and stuff. I just enjoy life. Like, I'm just generally very positive. Like, my diagnosis is for bipolar disorder, but I don't know that, like, if I tell people that, they just presume then that I've, which is what you would imagine, that I, like, swing from, like, having highs and then having lows and being, like, really manic and then being really depressed. Whereas I feel like I've just kind of had two manic episodes, and I don't see myself as ever having really been depressed. Like, I've had bad times and I've been sad, but I don't think I've suffered with, like, proper depression ever.
Do you use music as a kind of a place to go to, you know, lift yourself?
Oh, completely. In fact, like, I basically have music going from morning till night and round again.
Who would you recommend? Who's good for you?
Oh, God. At the moment, I just cannot stop listening to The War on Drugs, who John Creedon is quite a big fan of as well on Radio 1. I don't know if I should mention that because it's a competing radio station. But I'll just say The War on Drugs are fantastic. They released an album last year that's very good, but I just still can't stop listening to the one they released before that. It's called Lost in the Dream, and I probably listen to it, like, every day. So it's just, like, really kind of dreamy, guitar-y, great tunes, and really uplifting, a lot of it. I like anything I can sing along to, so, and I don't mean, like, just that I know the words to. I mean, like, things that I can kind of stretch my voice to. So, as I said, Janis Joplin would be one, and Mama Cass, and Nina Simone, and, oh, blokes as well, but I do like to kind of play the gals when I get a chance, like Carole King, and Joni Mitchell, obviously, my absolute heroines. If my voice is in good nick, I'll try out a few Joni tunes, and I do like it when I can hit those notes. So, yeah, music is either, I'm either composing it or playing it or joining in or just listening or walking around with it in my ears. And I like the odd podcast as well, but music just keeps me going. Like, I love radio. I just like consuming it nearly in all forms.
This is your second album, and it's just released, so I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but are you, you know, going to be seen? Are you going to be touring?
Yes, is the honest answer, and I haven't organised it yet, is the follow-up answer. I've been very kind of not well planned. I didn't want to do anything until I had the actual CDs in my hand. I do plan to play gigs. I have one lined up, the Wiley Fox, on the 28th of May. That's on Eden Quay there in Dublin. So I have a featured artist slot on that one.
How do you fund all this? Is it through CD sales, or have you got rich benefactors?
I do not have particularly rich benefactors that I know of. Hopefully they'll show up someday. A lot of it is the money I had made in Korea, because I went back again last year. Sorry, I should have mentioned that first. I was in Busan in the south of South Korea, so kind of like where Wexford is in Ireland. I was there for a year, and I got back about a year ago, so I had saved a good bit of money from that. And yeah, hopefully now I'll make some of it back on CD sales and touring and stuff. So yeah.
Completely off topic, can I ask you a question about South Korea? There's lots going on politically with the North and the South and Trump. Have you got any contacts over there that are telling you that, like, you know, is this for real? Is it like the Irish peace process, or is it a little bit more surreal than that?
I think, like, I have a lot of friends still over there, and I think, like, I do see most of their posts and stuff on Facebook and everything, so I feel like I'm still in touch with them all. I mean, they're kind of getting the same information that we're getting. It's different when you're on the ground over there, like, all the years, all this, like, oh, North Korea is so scary, and everyone in South Korea is like, no, they're not, they're grand, let's just get on with things, and it's fine. But then, having said that, this literally, I couldn't believe it, the day of my album release, North Korea and South Korea decided to, like, bring peace to the peninsula. And I was like, God, they're stealing my thunder. Ah, that's all anyone cares about today. But anyway, yeah, slightly less selfishly, it's a brilliant thing for the whole kind of area. Yeah, because, I mean, like, the sad thing about it was always that there were families who couldn't see each other, you know, and, like, I don't know how many of them are still left alive, you know, like, that's just crap, you know, like, people would often say when I said I'd been teaching in Korea, they'd say, like, oh, North or South, and I'd always be like, you can't really go to North Korea and, like, come back again, you know, like, well, you can't go, and, well, maybe you can, but it's very, very unlikely, and now it's kind of more of an option, so, or will be, hopefully, so.
Last off-topic question, what do they like Western music in South Korea?
They do, they like a lot of Western music, they like K-pop as well, like Korean pop music. But they like they have lots of, like, they call them Noray bangs, like karaoke. They'll hate me now for saying karaoke, but they call them Noray bangs, music rooms or singing rooms. So there's lots of like Western music in them, and they'll sing them as well. But I don't know, it's hard to say, because you know, some of the people I met were probably more likely to like Western music because they were probably hanging around in the places that I used to hang around in. Yeah, they like a mixture, but K-pop was what you'd hear out and about. Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. So plenty of kind of Gangnam Style kind of stuff.
No, Gangnam Style, I don't know. See, I wasn't there when Gangnam Style came out. No, it's weird. It's kind of more like high-pitched than that, I think. I don't know. Gangnam Style is almost more like a ballad compared to the stuff that you'd hear in the supermarket.
Marie Kniff, thanks very much for your time on the phone today, and the very best of luck with the tour. That date is the 28th of May in the Wylie Fox on Eden Quay. It's just the pub that's a couple of doors down from Liberty Hall. You can't miss it. I'll try and get along to that, and good luck with the CD. It's available. Where is it available? Where can you get your hands on it?
It's available on for download on like iTunes and Amazon, and you can listen to it on Spotify and stuff. If you want to buy a copy, and I recommend that you do, because like just the artwork is absolutely beautiful. I didn't do it now, I didn't paint it, but my friend Lucas Betlock painted the picture on the cover, and also on the CD itself there is a lovely hummingbird that was painted by my cousin's girlfriend, actually, Ursula Campbell, and she did a beautiful job, and the whole thing is just delightful. So that's available, and you can find out more and everything from mariekniff.com. I know, I might as well spell it out, sorry. MarieConniffe.com and /shop for buying the CD, but all the info is there. Yeah,
brilliant. We're going to play out with a song, another song from the album. What would you suggest?
I'll go for The Brightest Star. It's the last song on the album, and it just kind of has a lot of energy to it, and Christian Voetman played his harmonica on it, so he did a fantastic job as well.
Marie Kniff, thank you very much, and the very best of luck with your future career.
Thank you. Thank you very much for talking to me. Cheers.
I'm confounded by the reasons why.
absolutely hate cutting music short, but we're running out of time. It's Marie Cadiff and The Brightest Star from her album Love Madness. 103.2 Dublin City FM. This is Mental Wealth, and we're back next Tuesday at the same time, 12:30. If you've got an item for inclusion on the programme, the email address is mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a great week. Stay safe, take care, and bye-bye.